If you ask Christians if they'd like to give more, the answer is always yes. So why don't they? Hi, I'm Rob West. Western civilization's concept of charity is actually based on Christian values. It didn't exist before the spread of the gospel. But what's holding us back today? I'll talk about that with Ron Blue, and then it's on to your questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is financial teacher and author Ron Blue, my personal friend and mentor. Ron, delighted to have you back in the studio.
Good to see you again, Rob. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Ron, you've often written and talked about obstacles to giving more that folks may not realize they can overcome. Today, we'll talk about three of them. But first, tell us how you came to this realization that people often have more giving power than they even realize.
Well, you know, Rob, God showed me something with the very first client that I had, and it has proven true to now for 40-some years to be consistent. When I first set up shop as a financial planner, my first paying client was a man who and his wife who said that their goal was to give $1 million and to retire as soon as possible in order to give their time to the mission field.
Okay.
And they wanted to maintain their lifestyle, which was reasonable. It was not real fancy. It was just a reasonable lifestyle. They were giving 15%. I asked him what his net worth was, and he said about $350,000. And what his income was, and he said about $85,000 per year. And that was in the early 1980s.
Wow.
And he and his wife wanted to give $1 million.
Which seems out of reach. So were they able to do that?
Yes, they were. As I gathered their information, what I found was that they had a lot more assets than what they thought,
okay,
which is pretty typical. Most people know what their income is, but they don't really know all that they own and all that they owe. And I was able to call he and his wife and say, you better sit down because I think you can give $1 million.
Wow.
And I showed him that if they gave away some of their property, they would lower their taxes without lowering cash, and lowering their taxes increased their cash. So
yes,
that allowed them to give more. And when you ran that out over 5 years, they were able to, and that's important. They took a long-range view.
Yes.
And you ran it out over 5 years, they were able to give $200,000 a year away, and they still maintained their lifestyle. And as a matter of fact, their net worth remained the same also pretty much.
Incredible. Well, that really highlights one of the three reasons we're going to mention that Christians don't give more, and that is that people aren't aware of what they have. As you said, they weren't even aware of the giving potential they had through their balance sheet because of their assets. But the second is they're not aware of the ways to give. Talk about that.
Well, many times they can give property, for example. That was one of the things. They could have given stock that had appreciated in value. And both of those things avoid the capital gains tax. That's probably one of the biggest mistakes that I think people make in their giving. They don't realize that they can give off their balance sheet certain things. And it's not limited to real estate and stock. It could even be a business interest that somebody could give.
That's great. And we know that Giving Fund, through our friends at the National Christian Foundation, what's otherwise known as a donor-advised fund, is one of the most powerful tools in all of this to accomplish what you're describing. All right, well, then there's the third reason, though, Ron, and that is that they didn't have a plan, and that's what you gave them.
That's exactly right. And that's people we found over time, Rob, that people could give five times more than what they thought just by having a plan to give. So most people are reactive in their giving rather than proactive in their giving. So they don't plan to give, and consequently, they don't give what they could give.
And this is significant, Ron. You said in your experience, you found that folks through a plan could give five times what they were planning to give prior to the giving. And that really is a game changer. Well, folks, if you want a plan that can help you do what Ron is describing so you understand what you have and how you can give it away and what the plan looks like to support it, perhaps a certified Kingdom Advisor is what you need. You can find a CKA at moneywise.org. Just click the button that says Find a CKA. Ron, really great to have you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Rob.
Financial teacher and author Ron Blue was with us today. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where God's Word informs every financial decision. Much more just around the corner. Stick around.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. When Jesus asks the question, boy, he gets right to the point. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Try to get around that one. God's purpose for coming to earth was to seek and save the lost, that no one should perish. And he wants you to make his purpose your purpose. The Bible is clear that sharing your faith isn't an option. A privilege, yes, but not an option. Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the good news. Note the operative word Jesus uses, go, as in do what I say. So you can disagree with God, disobey him, or honor him by doing what he's called you to do, to intentionally and wholeheartedly share his love with everyone in your life every day. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Relationships can be tricky, can't they? On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Gary Chapman will explain how a wall of resentment can build up between you and your loved one and why you can and should try to tear down that wall from your side through forgiveness. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is your opportunity to call in with your questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Texas. Mary, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Thank you. My husband and I are both in our 70s. I'm still working. He's long retired. But he's recently had a stroke, and it's left him bedridden and paralyzed on one side and unable to speak. So currently he's in a long-term care facility, which, of course, we didn't plan for.
Yes.
And we're being faced with paying a huge amount each month for his care because we don't qualify for Medicaid since we have too many assets. And it looks as though as time goes by, once all our assets are depleted and we've lost basically everything we've saved our whole life for, then he could go on Medicaid and it would be covered. His care would be covered. So I'm basically searching for advice.
Well, do you, my notes say here that you have a second home. Is that right?
Actually, we have a home that's paid for and we have two rent houses.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so that's going to be a challenge in the sense that the Medicaid rules for second residences and rental properties are pretty clear. They're not exempt from the asset limits. There's some narrow exceptions to this, but you'd have to get with an estate attorney to explore that further. Likely, right. What you'll find is the best way to handle this would be to liquidate those properties. You can still be eligible for Medicaid while owning your first home, and then if you sell the other properties, it would give you funds to pay for your husband's care, your own expenses, and then if need be, open the possibility of Medicaid stepping in at some point. Unfortunately, this, I know it's terribly expensive, and I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's condition. But I do think, you know, beyond that, in terms of some specific planning, an elder care attorney would be able to help you navigate all of this. But just at a high level, that's probably what you're looking at.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that very much. I've got a lot of things to decide, don't I?
Yes. There is a path forward here. And certainly I'm grateful to hear that you do have some assets that you can tap into to pay for his care. And then obviously you'll need to be thinking about a facility that would be Medicaid eligible, if you need that to step in at some point once your assets are depleted. But let's just trust the Lord's provision here and certainly ask for him to bring healing to your husband's body. And if we can help along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Mary, all the best to you. We appreciate your call very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, folks, as we recognize our role as stewards of God's resources, we want to be found faithful in managing those resources. The way we do that is we go to God's Word. Did you realize there's 2,350 verses in the Bible on money and possessions? That's right. As we look at the counsel of Scripture, Old Testament and New, there's some big themes that jump off the page. And that's what we like to explore here each morning as we gather together, just the heart of God related to generosity and this big idea that we're managers of God's resources. And what does it look like to live with contentment? And how do we manage our lifestyle? How do we enjoy what God has given us and yet find his heart for how we live simply and hold everything loosely? Well, it's not formulas per se. It really, I think, begins on your knees asking the Lord what he would have us to do. And as we do that together in community, I think we can find God's best in each phase of life. We have some lines open today, 800-525-7000. Whatever your question, whether it's your spending plan, your debt repayment, your giving, your long-term savings, we'd love to hear from you. Back to the phones we go. Carol's in Arkansas. Carol, how can I help you? Hi, Carol. Are you with us?
I am.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I am 80 years old. My husband is 83. We have 8 EE bonds that we bought in January of 93 that are going to mature in January. We're going to receive about between $12,000 and $13,000 interest on those bonds when they come due. Is there anything we can do to defer tax on that interest?
Unfortunately, no, Carol. I mean, that interest is going to be recognized. It is, of course, taxable. So you would have to report that as it matures. And as you redeem that, then the interest would be there and need to be paid. Do you all itemize your taxes or do you take the standard deduction? Do you know?
We take standard.
Okay, yeah. So unfortunately, even, additional giving or other opportunities for deductions won't come into play there because you're taking the standard deduction. And so, that wouldn't be helpful to you unless you had some sort of, required minimum distribution from an IRA that you could, use a charitable distribution for that or something that would push you up above that threshold. Really, that's just going to be taxes you will have to recognize. So I would just be planning for that as you redeem those bonds. Make sure that you have that amount set aside. And if you need some help with that, you could connect with a tax preparer or a CPA. Okay.
Would you suggest cashing some of those out this year and then carrying over the rest next year?
Yeah, that's always a good strategy. I think you could work with your CPA on that. The key would be just to look at whether, given the amount that you're going to be cashing out, any portion of that could be pushed up into a higher tax bracket. You know, the amount that you're talking about at $12,000 or $13,000, probably not likely, but it's possible. And so if you could do that over two tax years, that would be one way to alleviate that, but it may not be necessary, Carol, and if it'd be more helpful to you to have it all this year and it doesn't affect you from a tax standpoint, then it's just a function of taking the interest, setting the appropriate amount aside to make sure you've got what you need to cover it, and then you're all set.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Enjoy your program.
Thank you, Carol. We appreciate you calling today. God bless you. Hey, a quick email before we head to our first break. By the way, we've got some lines open today for your question, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This one comes from Jeff. He says, my question is about tithing. I am between churches. Should I tithe where I visit, or should I send it to my old church? And Jeff, I appreciate that question. I'm sure it comes from a desire just to be found faithful in honoring God with the tithe. Certainly, as we apply the principle of the tithe, and I love that as a starting point for our giving, a systematic gift based on the increase as a tenth to the local church. I think you know, that's a great way to begin your giving plan. In terms of where, I think clearly when you're planted in a local church, that's obviously the place to be. If you're between churches, you know, one way to go, and there's certainly not a hard and fast rule on this. I think the Lord will be honored at whatever you decide. But one way would be to take a weekly increase. So every week, whatever comes in, you actually give to the church you're visiting. And I think that would be one way to approach it. You know, Ron Blue, who was on the program this morning in our opening segment talking about giving, actually has a really, I think, fun way of handling his tithe. He and Judy, his wife, they actually sit down every Sunday morning at breakfast. Ron brings a 3x5 card, and on that card, he writes down all the income they received that week. Well, he's an author, so they'll get some royalty checks, or they might get, you know, some other sort of income throughout the week. Well, he just jots it all down, calculates 10%, puts it down on the table. They pray over that, celebrate God's provision for that week, and Judy writes the check. And then they take it with them to church. And they've just found that's a great way just to acknowledge God's provision and faithfulness in their lives. So perhaps try that, Jeff, and then take that check with you wherever you're visiting that week. We'll be right back on Money Wise. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. This is where we mine the scriptures and apply God's principles and truths to your financial decisions and choices. What's on your mind today, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. We have lines open and we're ready for you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We started today by talking about why Christians don't give more, as Ron shared a really powerful story just about a client he had worked with back decades ago that wanted to give $1 million. They were making $85,000 a year at a net worth of about $350,000, and their desire was to give $1 million to the Lord's work. And Ron helped them come up with a plan to do just that. And as you can imagine, they were so excited. But what are some of those things that get in the way of us being able to give more? Well, let me share a few of them. You know, as I think about it, there's probably five key areas that we need to be thinking about as we maximize our giving unto the Lord. The first is just the financial side. Have we put ourselves in a position financially to be able to respond to the leading of the Lord? Have we ordered our finances to live within our means so we can give first, right off the top, systematically, as unto the Lord, as a tithe? And then beyond that, do we have margin in our financial life? Are we living right to the edge, paycheck to paycheck, which really just limits our ability to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading in additional sacrificial giving? Or have we positioned ourselves with enough margin so that we have the ability to say, yeah, I hear that need, or I see that person on my path who's hurting, and I want to respond so I can then step up and make that gift? Well, that's really the financial side. That means we've got to limit debt. We've got to live within our means and have plenty of margin. We've got to be on track with saving for our goals so that we can take and respond where the Lord leads. So the financial piece is really the first piece. And then second, what about spiritual? You know, where are we at spiritually in our walk? Are we listening to the Lord? Do we have a time where we can hear from the Lord in quiet meditation and study of the scriptures, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts when there's a need that we're to meet? And I think a lot of that comes down to where we're at spiritually, making sure we're ridding ourselves of pride and greed, and really being open to being a conduit of God's provision to others in need. That really is ultimately a spiritual condition, and I think we need to be working on ourselves, and I'm speaking to myself as well, we need to be working on ourselves in these areas. So financial and spiritual, I think, are two of the five. By the way, if you'd like to get in on the conversation today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'll be taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. 800-525-7000. What about the third? Well, I think the next is really relationships. You know, so often we don't surround ourselves with people that are going to challenge us and spur us on to even greater giving. What if you put yourself in a community where that's being talked about and folks are challenging and encouraging you and you to them to think about how you can do additional giving, and really reinforcing that idea, telling stories and celebrating what God is doing through your generosity? Perhaps seek out relationships that are going to spur you on to even greater giving. I think that will be a key part of you being able to maximize your potential for giving. What else? Well, I think then there's the plan. And this is different than the financial. The financial is just how we order ourselves day to day in terms of our handling of God's money to put ourselves in a position to give. But the planning that I'm talking about actually goes beyond that. It's not just cash giving. I think it's balance sheet giving is the real opportunity here. Think about this. 90% of our giving happens in the form of cash, liquid assets, and yet only 10% of our wealth is held in the form of cash. That means our greatest opportunity for giving is actually out of our assets, off of our balance sheet. Well, that takes a plan. If you're going to give a piece of a business or a piece of some real estate or some appreciated art or stocks, whatever that might be, your estate plan, a charitable gift annuity, you know, looking at these tools and looking for opportunities to give out of your net worth is really where you're going to have your greatest potential for giving. Well, that's going to take a plan. And by the way, I think often that's going to involve a plan that includes an advisor, a financial professional who can really help you think about the best way to position your giving as a part of your overall financial plan. And that's where, by the way, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. If you're looking for a professional who understands the heart of God and will really understand your desire to be generous and steward your assets and resources well, well, that's where somebody who's earned the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation could be a real help to you. You can find a CKA in your area on moneywise.org. Just click the button that says find a CKA. All right, so that's the spiritual side, the financial side, the plan side, relationships. What's the fifth? Well, I think the last one is vision. You are never going to outgive your vision for your giving. That just simply means, what are you trying to accomplish? How do you want to partner with God? What are your passions and your interests and your skill sets? And how can all of that align with your generosity? As you think about and develop a vision for your giving and how you can be a part of where God is at work, that will allow you to lift your sights a bit and actually see the potential for your giving that perhaps you've missed to that point. And I think establishing your vision for giving takes some a time to look inward and really to ask the question, God, what passions do I have that align with your heart that I see in Scripture? Is it the ministry of God's word or the ministry of God's justice? Or maybe it's the ministry of God's provision to the needy and the poor. You know, whatever it is, whatever breaks your heart, when you align that with where God's heart is, I think you will develop a giving vision that will cause you to perhaps do more than you ever have before. And here's my experience. When you begin to taste that, you will begin to reorder your finances in such a way that allows you to do even more. Because here's the reality. Giving is joyful. It's contagious. It's something we want to be a part of. We were hardwired to give because we were created in the image of the ultimate giver. So I like to say we're most like him when we're giving. So when you begin to taste that and experience it, well, you're going to want more of that. I can promise you that. All right, when we come back, your phone calls today here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open. Pat standing by to take your calls. We'd love to get you on the air with whatever financial issue you're dealing with today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. If you're looking for a place to connect with other believers, learn from each other, and share knowledge of what you learned on your money journey, let me challenge you to participate in our online community forums. This digital gathering place is for people to ask questions, even share a tip, or just connect with others. And believe me, we have some active, enthusiastic, wisdom-filled members in there. So why don't you jump in and try it for free by going to moneywise.org. Just click on the community button on the homepage. You may even occasionally see me in there answering a question or two, so I'd love for you to join me. Again, moneywise.org. Just click the community button once you create your free account, which will take you just a matter of seconds. You can jump in, read all the questions that are being posted, the answers coming from others in our community, as well as even some of our MoneyWise coaches and me. So we'd love to have you check it out. Again, moneywise.org. By the way, while you're there, be sure to check out all the great content that's there, our featured articles, videos, and podcasts. We aggregate the very best content in Christian finance at moneywise.org to be an encouragement to you on your stewardship journey. All right, in just a moment, we'll be taking your phone calls, 800-525-7000. Let me take a moment and talk about an issue that I think so often creeps in when we think about money. A familiar verse in 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Well, this verse has clear financial implications because it warns about envy. Envy is that negative feeling of jealousy when someone has better things or even better opportunities than you. It's closely related to greed. An envious person is unsatisfied with what they have, always wanting more. And, it leads to covetousness, a strong desire to possess what someone else has. The tenth commandment says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. And here's the reality. Envy destroys relationships. An envious attitude is the opposite of love because it creates division based on how much someone has or doesn't have. And an envious person lacks peace. Proverbs 14:30 speaks to this. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy is a common human emotion, but it's destructive, as you can clearly see here. So here's the question. How do we overcome our tendency to envy what others have. Well, God's word warns against envy, and it provides the cure as well. Listen to this. You know, envy is a sin, and the first thing we need to do with sin is to repent. We can pray through Psalm 51, which begins, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." And then back to the verse in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. Ask God to replace your feelings of envy with patience and kindness. Patience trusts that God will provide for you in his timing. Kindness cancels out envy because it puts the needs of others ahead of your own. Here's another big one, though. Gratitude is an antidote for envy. When we focus on being grateful, there's just simply no room for envy. There's no need to compare what we have with what someone else has. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." You know, as we allow gratitude to replace our envy, it just simply puts us in a posture of thankfulness, a thankful heart for what God has provided. And it breaks this comparison trap, this cycle that I think today is more fueled than ever by social media, seeing the best version of somebody else's life and wanting that, even if it means we have to live outside of God's provision financially to accomplish it. Folks, God has given us so much. He made us. He loves us unconditionally. He provides everything that we need to thrive. It doesn't matter what someone else has. When we focus on the Lord, filling our hearts and minds with truth from his word, well, there's just simply no room for envy at that point. So here's the reality. I think as you all think about this, and as we pray through it, and I'm looking at myself as well, let's focus on this today to see if we can push envy to the side, get out of the comparison trap, and lean into all that God has for us because he's given us so much. We have an abundance even before the first dollar that he's entrusted to us, and may we remember that today. All right, let's head to the phones for the remainder of the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. Take your questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000 with whatever is on your mind. To Mississippi we go. Glenn, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm 60 years old, and I have a question. You know, the previous woman, she called about her husband in a nursing home, and, you know, well, I hope I never get there. But if I put all my assets in a family trust, and me and my wife have been thinking about this for a long time, you know, because we don't really need them. I have a retirement income and I still work, but, and I also want to control a little bit how my kids get access to my assets, which to them would be a pretty good party, I suppose. But if I put my stuff in a family trust, does that protect it from creditors? And what's the difference between revocable and irrevocable as to creditors? Like if I were, or my wife was in a nursing home, and if it's in a family trust, that with all the children's names in there, how does that affect that? Do you know?
Yes. The key is, as you said, whether it's a revocable or irrevocable trust. A revocable trust allows you to pass your assets to named beneficiaries, helps you avoid the probate process, gives you the flexibility to change the terms of the trust, as evidenced by the name revocable, which means you can change it. On the other hand, an irrevocable family trust does not give you the flexibility to modify the terms of the trust. However, when it comes to creditors, that's a good thing. When you move assets into an irrevocable trust, you lose control over the trust. That means the trust owns the assets. Once you place the assets into an irrevocable family trust, creditors can no longer access the assets for liquidation to pay off a loved one's debts. But it can be a complex process, so you'd certainly need to work with an estate planning attorney who has experience in setting this type of thing up. A Medicaid asset protection trust shields your assets from Medicaid as well as other types of creditors, but you have to put that in there at least 5 years before you start to receive any financial assistance. Medicaid, of course, pays for certain nursing home some costs, but you've got to meet a certain threshold, and each state establishes a limit there. And if you earn more money or own more assets than the maximum limit, then that's where that type of trust can come in. So, I think depending on what you're trying to accomplish, it is going to come down to what type of trust you have, when it's set up, and as to whether it's going to accomplish the purposes for which you created it. So I think your next step, Glenn, is really to visit with an estate attorney just to talk through these things, okay?
Yes, sir. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. We appreciate your call today very much. God bless you, sir. Folks, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our final segment of the broadcast today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. Do you want to begin where we started today with your generosity, your giving questions, or maybe it's savings or paying down debt? Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We'll be back with our final segment just around the corner. Stick around.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial with lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, MoneyWise Media is listener-supported. We're a not-for-profit ministry that relies on your gifts to do the ministry we're called to each day. With this radio broadcast, our work in the MoneyWise app at MoneyWise.org, our MoneyWise coaches, all of the resources that we're providing to God's people are a direct result of listener support. And so if you consider you're part of the MoneyWise community and you benefit from this program and you'd like to give a gift to MoneyWise Media, we'd certainly appreciate that. You can head to our website, moneywise.org. Just click the Give button and you'll be able to give one time over the phone. You can set up a monthly gift. We'll even give you the mailing address there if you'd rather send a gift through the mail. But thanks in advance, especially here at month end as we try to stay on budget. Yes, we operate from a budget as well. That would be great to have your support. Again, moneywise.org, just click Give. All right, back to the phones we go in our final moments of the broadcast today, 800-525-7000. To Alabama we go. Tom, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 60 years old. I have two different life insurance policies in place, $100,000 on each one. One is term, which is about $48 a month for me at this point. And the other is a whole life policy. It's costing me $233 a month. And my question is, is it really practical to stay in the whole life at this point? I owe $56,000 to the whole life in order to get the cash value when it becomes mature, which would be $41,000. So basically, I know I'm going to lose $15,000 to keep that whole life policy in place. Yeah. And I'm explaining to my wife, it's like, yes, but if I pass in the next 15 years before I pay off this whole life policy, you'll get $100,000. And she's like scratching her head going, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
So that's my question to you.
Yeah. What kind of death benefit do you have? You have $100,000 on the whole life and how much on the term?
$100,000 as well.
Okay. And you said your age was 60?
Correct.
All right. And what is your plan, Tom, vis-a-vis retirement? Do you plan to just to continue to work indefinitely? Do you have kind of a retirement date targeted?
We have a business that will be worth probably $400,000 to $500,000. We have an inheritance home that will bring another $250,000 when it's dispersed between relatives and myself. So, yeah, we've got some assets coming. When we decide to sell the business, which is providing our income at this point. But yeah, the question is this life insurance and if it's really practical.
Well, and it really comes down to
maybe educate your audiences to the difference between whole and term, because a lot of people don't even know.
No, sure. And I'd be happy to weigh in on that. I think the key for you is, whether this death benefit is necessary for your wife. So let's say something were to happen to you tomorrow. What is the plan to continue to operate the business and then get it valued and get it sold? And, is that a reasonable plan? And would there be a period of time until that takes place where she would need some, working capital and really needs the death benefit to maintain your lifestyle? Because obviously we want life insurance as long as we can or as long as we need it to fill a need that exists for a dependent, whether that's a spouse or a loved one down the road. Obviously, the difference between whole life and term is that term is pure insurance for a stated period of time. You're simply paying the mortality cost for the death benefit that's a function of your age and at the time of your application, your health status. But at the end of the term, it lapses. It gets way too expensive. Nobody would ever plan to keep it beyond that term. But the idea is that while we're buying the pure insurance, which is the least expensive way to have that death benefit to offset that risk of somebody that you're depending on for income, in most cases, going home with the Lord, the cheapest way to do that is through term insurance. But we're saving separate from that in company-sponsored retirement plans or building a business that can be sold through a liquidity event, to convert that asset to something that can be, generated in a passive income stream. And we're doing that in a way that doesn't involve an insurance product, whereas a whole life policy is a combination of the two. It's the death benefit plus the savings, but you're relying on the insurance company to provide the accumulation. And in my view, that's just not the best way to go. So I think for you, Tom, here, the question is, what is the amount of life insurance your wife needs, if any, today, and for what period of time? And perhaps that $100,000 on the term policy is enough to get you all to the place where you have that liquidity event and then the assets are available to cover her life. If not, perhaps you drop the whole life insurance, take whatever cash value has accumulated at this point, and get a second term policy or replace that one with one that's, $200,000 or $250,000, but you're not spending, the $233 a month. You're spending another $50,000 perhaps or $60,000. So that's at least, the less expensive way to go just to offset that risk. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, what you said makes a lot of sense. Having assets in addition to offset, a mortgage of $200,000 that we've got at a really low interest, 2.85. We just met with a money financial manager a few weeks ago at our bank, and he's like, yeah, that's your debt, but it's called good debt because it's at such a low interest. Like, why would you try to pay it down? Because I talked about that too, paying down the mortgage quicker. because it's a 30-year term. We still owe 28 years. And it's like, well, but that's good that you can take that money instead of pouring it into your mortgage. You make more by just investing that additional principal amount you might pay into it. That's another question. It's like, well, where do we put that if we're not going to pay down the principal?
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think there's a non-financial side to that equation as well, though, that you have to consider, Tom. Yes, there's the straight financial implications of I've got a low interest rate. I may or may not be able to deduct that because I'm, you know, 80% of people take the standard deduction, but it's at a low interest rate, so I could take that money and keep that invested. And while that's true, what that's discounting is the non-financial side of owning your home and being free and clear and your wife having the security of knowing that we're unencumbered and the flexibility that comes with that, not to mention if we can sync up the payoff to that mortgage with your retirement date, maybe, you know, look at what it would take, run that amortization schedule to say, well, if we're going to retire in the next 8 years, what would it look like for us to take that, you know, 23 or 25 year mortgage term and cut it down to 8 years? How much extra would we need to send every year so that as we're entering retirement, our expenses are as low as possible because that single largest expense that we have is now coming off the table. So I think that would be another way to look at it as you think about, you know, by the way, I've never had somebody in all the years I've been doing this pay off their house and call me back and say, man, Rob, I just wish we didn't pay off the house. I've never gotten that call, Tom. There's just something about it, despite what a financial advisor might tell you, that gives you a whole lot of peace of mind that I don't think we need to discount. So I think when you, as you answer that insurance question, it really comes down to what's the period of time you need this death benefit to be able to provide for your wife and her for you, if you're relying on anything from her, probably not in this situation, but mainly so that she has the assets she needs to maintain her lifestyle. And typically we'd look at what's called the DIME method, D-I-M-E, making sure you could pay off all your debt, making sure you've got enough to provide the income that's necessary to get you to where your retirement assets and the business are enough to sustain her. The mortgage, paying off the mortgage, that's the M, and then E is education if you still have any, you know, kids at home that you know, need college. And those would be kind of the big four that we'd want to solve for, but I like doing that through term insurance with only the amount of term we need to get us to the place where we're now relying on our own assets and not the insurance company. And by the way, then we can drop that expense that's unnecessary and continues to climb as we age. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, I've done the amortization. Yeah, if I pay another $500 towards the principal, I can have the mortgage paid off in like 12 years, which is,
okay.
You know, then I'm 72 and that, you know, that's a pretty good target.
I think that's kind of a nice compromise between, you know, do we try to pay it all off in 1 year or 2 years, or do we just ride this thing out for the next 25 years? I like the fact that we'd have a strategy that says we want to get out of debt once and for all in a reasonable time period. And, you know, in the early years of our retirement, we'd like to have that thing gone. So let's prioritize that now out of extra cash flow so that we can get there much sooner.
Well, bless you, sir. I appreciate your wisdom and everything you're doing for others. And I know God is using you. So,
well, thank you, Tom.
And keep up your great work.
I appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for your encouragement and delighted to hear from you. It sounds like this is all really well thought through. And at the end of the day, you're trying to be found faithful as a steward of God's resources, as we all are. And sounds like you're doing a great job. So God bless you, my friend. Call us back anytime. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. We've covered a lot of ground. We've talked trusts and we've talked giving and we've talked insurance. And, you know, as we think about all of these issues that we deal with every day, they really fit into four big buckets. There's our lifestyle, that which we live on, that which we give, that which we owe, and that which we grow, the save for the future. And here's the cool part. God's word speaks to all of it, every bit of it. We can look to his word to get the counsel that tells us the timeless wisdom we can apply to these decisions that we're facing today. It's all there in God's word. So renew your mind. Be in there often, meditating on those scriptures. Hey, it's been a privilege to be along with you today. So thankful for my team today, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll do it all over again, and we'll look for you then. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.